Buenos dias. Good day. This is the Feast of Fools. I am Fausto Ferdinand.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And today we're joined by Tracy Tyler.
Yay. Hi, guys.
Hi. You're so beautiful.
Ooh, oh, thank you.
You look stunning.
Oh, stunning. Fabulous. I'm in my bat shirt.
I feel like you're going to take off and fly with those wings you have.
I know. This shirt is like the sleeves that go, it's like drippy, like Elvira sleeves.
You look stunning, Morticia. Girl.
So beautiful. Morticia sleeves.
Well, we have a special listener fan all the way from San Juan, Puerto Rico, Larry LaFontaine. Hey!
Hi! Well, I'm really from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Well, your parents live in Puerto Rico.
I grew up in Puerto Rico.
And the first time you and I met each other, we had a little date with Joel in Old San Juan.
That is true.
And we had some mofongo, which is crushed plantains and chicken broth. And some beautiful cod. And you bought me dinner. You were so sweet.
This very delicious restaurant on Plaza Colón in Old San Juan.
That's right. You know, as kids, Larry, that we used to run around that plaza after eating ice cream at that place that you and I met.
Because there was a Chinese ice cream, and my favorite was pistachio.
Oh, my favorite was vanilla
and
chocolate.
Chinese ice cream?
Yeah, they're in Puerto Rico. There's lots of Chinese ice cream parlors.
Oh.
Hi,
like
Lottie.
They have cleaners here, but Lottie they have ice cream shops there.
Exploding. We can make Lottie laugh a lot. You have the most wonderful laughter.
Tickle, tickle, tickle.
Stop.
Larry, do you have a boyfriend?
I'm working on it. I'm available.
You're available.
Single and available.
Now, what are you doing to meet men, though?
I don't know. I go to Detroit.
Because you live in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is an academia town, and you're like you're like a professor.
I teach at the University of Michigan.
University of Michigan, and what do you teach?
I teach Latino queer studies.
So basically, you study yourself.
Sort of. I've tried to make it a career.
And that's like, it's not masturbating in the mirror. Like, you actually write papers and sort of read books and talk
about
things.
Masturbation is a good topic. I heard Dr. Jocelyn Elders yesterday defending masturbation as part of our healthy sexuality. That was pretty cool.
Oh, because you just came to Chicago for the Black and Latino Sexuality Conference at the University of Illinois at Chicago?
That's right.
Girl, you are up in the wazoo of sexy and academia.
I was a keynote speaker.
Really?
Oh, with Rodessa Jones, Bill T. Jones' sister, from the Medea Project for Incarcerated Women in San Francisco.
Bendito.
What did you do?
Well, we had a panel that just talked about Black and Latino sexuality, and I spoke actually about Latino artists in Chicago that are queer, especially Caribbean, Hispanic Caribbean artists like Achi Ovejas or Rose Trochet, who made the film Go Fish.
Oh, wait, we had Achi on the show as well, and she wrote a wonderful article about me for the Chicago Tribune. That where she said it's like
years ago
she spent like paragraphs upon paragraphs telling the public how beautiful my eyes were.
Aww.
And I was like, and people were like, sweet. Did you fuck this lesbian or what? so and you mentioned us as well, right, on the thing.
Yeah.
And people were like, the Feast of what?
Some people knew about you, but I was trying to get the rest of them to listen and buy a t-shirt.
Yay!
Yes.
Yay!
So this is your first time here in our home and studio.
It is. It's incredible. It's actually also my first time meeting Mark and Tracy.
Oh,
it's a delight. I've talked to Larry many times on the phone.
Lottie is hysterically funny. So what was sort of the point that you were trying to make in your keynote speakingness?
Well, it was about how when Go Fish came out in 94, many people didn't realize it was a film made by a Puerto Rican filmmaker, that Rose Trochet is Puerto Rican. And part of that has to do with the fact that she grew up in the suburbs. So for her, her Puerto Ricanness is sort of a conflicted identity.
Oh, she passed for gringa like we do.
She passes a lot. Yeah, I think so.
Do you feel like you pass for, because you're a fair-skinned Hispanic man like me?
I'm until I open my mouth, then people are like, you have an accent, a slight accent.
Ay, Dios mío.
I try to make it my business to let people know that I'm Puerto Rican, which is part of why I like your podcast so much, because I feel that this podcast is also a lot about being
It's the most downloaded Puerto Rican podcast, gay or straight.
Wow.
The second one being the Miss Puerto Rico Universe podcast. or one of those.
Do you listen to that one, Larry?
No.
That was hysterical. It was like
Miss Puerto Rico?
Yeah, Miss Puerto Rico Universe podcast.
Oh,
and every
because
week,
of the pepper spray?
Yeah, well, that was before that incident with the pepper spray.
Whatever happened to that?
Yeah.
They
explain to the listeners what happened with the incident
first. This poor woman who was competing, like the other contestants,
in the
really
beauty pageant.
In the Miss Puerto Rico Universe pageant to be the representative of the island in Donald Trump's contest. And so there she is, right? And there was lots
of... And she won.
Well, she won, but the poor thing, like there was so much jealousy and bitterness because they all knew that she was a favorite, so someone broke into the dressing rooms and sprayed her dress with pepper spray. So when she put it on, she couldn't tell, but as soon as she walked out in front of the bright lights and started to sweat, her perspiration activated the pepper spray. So, like, the poor woman.
It was in her makeup, too, wasn't it, that they said?
Yeah.
But that now, the other people like have said, though, some people have said, though, that she actually did it herself.
No, I don't think so. But at any rate, I read in the newspaper that the police is no longer going to investigate. They withdrew this issue.
Okay.
So they had, it was
but she has braces now. She has braces. She had her a nose job.
So she became Miss Puerto
Rico?
Yes!
They're like fixing her up. I think they're grooming her to be the next Miss Universe. Because Puerto Rico has a long history of Miss Universes and Olympic athletes and musicians.
So the Miss Puerto Rico Universe podcast was every week they had a different interview with a Puerto Rico, with a woman from a different, in Puerto Rico they don't have states. They're called municipalities.
There's 78 municipalities, and sometimes in school they made you memorize them.
I never had to memorize them. I didn't go to one of those genius schools. Now, you went to what the most aggressive academic high school in Puerto Rico.
Wow.
Academia del Perpetuo Socorro. But I liked it because it was co-ed, which meant that I could hang out with the girls.
Aww, you're a big girl yourself.
The girl that I am.
And I actually took the admission test to that school, and I failed.
Wow.
Yes. But I was, I just said, well, you know, and so instead of going to school, I just enrolled in college.
Because
what
you,
I did.
You went to college real young.
I went, at the age of 16. Oh, so I tried to get into your school, and I was rejected. And so I was like, well, this is just the same thing as the SAT, and the academic material is the same as going to college. So I said, well, let's just cut out the middleman. I'll just be a young thing living among hunky male athletes at the University of Texas at Austin, and the rest is history.
Yay.
Yeah, and so you went to college where?
I went to Harvard.
Wow.
Girl,
somebody from Harvard on the show.
Very intelligent, as my parents will let you know.
It's muy inteligente, and you're bilingual. You're academically.
I'm good with the tongue.
Literate and in both languages, though you can write. You can write with the best of them in English and in Spanish.
Because I was raised bilingual, and in my house we spoke English and Spanish. My dad's from New Jersey.
But you have a very aggressive academic training, both in English and Spanish too, which I never did.
Oh,
like right. I can't write college level papers in Spanish, but you can. And you translate your material to English and Spanish as well, right?
Yeah, and my sister works for, can I say that she works for ESPN Deportes in Spanish?
Yeah, why not?
Cool. She's a sports broadcaster in Spanish. So she also went to Harvard. So I don't know why I'm saying this. I just wanted to say that she also works in media like you guys.
Aww. Fabulous. So you hung out with Jocelyn Elders and... And does she masturbate?
No, but she's very, very fierce. And I felt it was like a dream come true. Sort of like being here today and meeting Mark for the first time and Tracy and getting to see Fausto again. I've been listening to the show, I think, for about 2 years. And to be honest, I kept wondering. I'm like, when are they going to invite me? But,
last time you came into town, you made it very difficult to run into you.
I know. I was really bad.
Stupid lesbian
friends. So it's so nice of you to have me. No, don't say that.
So tell us about this conference. You said it's they talked about masturbating
and about
sex.
Hookers.
Oh, hookers.
And about porn.
Is this academia?
It is.
We're going to take a little commercial break, but we'll be right back. The Feast of Fools is brought to you by generous support of fabulous, glamorous, intelligent, and savvy listeners just like you.
Without your support, we really couldn't do this show. So please visit feastoffools.net and make a donation.
And buy a t-shirt.
And get a fabulous mug.
Your financial contributions mean the world to us.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
This Gay Fun Show is also brought to you in part by Steamworks, Gym, Sauna, and Baths.
Release the pressure!
Saca la presión.
Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, and now Seattle, Washington.
When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you. Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get that special discount. Remember,
play hard, play smart.
It's the podcast that makes you feel like the popular girl at the cocktail party, the Feast of Fools. On today's show, that girl for the modern tranny, Tracy Tyler, shares her delicious story of going to a large woman's party and hooking up with a man there.
We find out if Tracy is on the run from the law.
Maximo, the gay Mexican sensation in wrestling. Are gays taking over La Lucha Libre?
And find out what I sang and what I wore on Good Friday.
Ooh, she was like Mary Magdalene in church.
Ay, Dios mío.
Ay, ay, ay.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
I'm Larry LaFontaine.
And I'm Tracy Tyler.
And this is the music of Ruben Bouchart. His song, Flash and Click, from his album Golden Boy, is available on our website, feastoffools.net.
Stay tuned.
To be surrounded by such beautiful friends on today's
Yay.
Show.
Yay! Woo.
Yay, friends.
Making
friends for the world to see or listen to in this case. Laddie, you can touch my People's Choice Podcast
it's
Award.
So
Tracy,
beautiful.
You can touch the other one.
It's actually like I couldn't imagine it being so amazingly beautiful.
Right, it's wonderful. Don't you love how it catches the light and reflects it back?
I can see you
so
through
sparkly.
It.
I can click. See you, Larry. Podcast twins.
Hey, watch it. Those things scratch them. They're made out of acrylic.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Crystal, you don't want to crack them.
I thought it was diamond.
Playtime is over. Playtime is over. Put away the awards.
Okay,
we're talking about Tracy's fat girl party that you went to 2 weeks ago.
Is it fat girl or big girl? What do they call it?
I don't know. I don't think it's fat girl.
What was it called?
Big
Beautiful
Plus,
Women?
Was it fun?
It was the first time I'd ever been to it.
It was not trans oriented.
No, it was straight.
It was straight, like, people. Heterosexual breeders.
Mm-hmm. Right, breeders.
Sexual extremists.
It was like a party for large women.
In
big,
a hotel,
beautiful
right?
women. Yeah. They have it once a week. It's called, I think it's like Linda's Big Bash or something. Ooh. It's like this. I think they have.
And my name is Linda.
They have. I didn't meet Linda that night, but they have like similar ones. I think
how
in
much
other
is Linda?
Cities.
How big is Linda?
Like I didn't meet her. I didn't meet her, so I don't know. But
does everyone dress up? Or, you know, dress very
they
nice.
They were all dressed really slutty.
Really? Because it's like a big sex. It's a sex party, isn't
it's
it? More
like
than
a
anything,
hookup party. It's totally. A hookup party.
So if you're a guy and you like big women, this is the place for you to go.
Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah.
And so you went to this party, innocent little Tracy.
And how many men? Now, how many men did you go home with?
Well, I go into the party, okay, and it's like $25. Well, first of all, I'm like really nervous to go because. Because
of the trans issue.
Yeah, because I didn't want to get clocked or, you know. And
well, you shouldn't have worn that t-shirt that said, nobody knows I'm trans. Or ask, until now.
And then on the back says, ask me about my penis.
So, So I will have you know that I passed completely.
I believe it.
You passed right
I
now.
I believe it too. Well,
Laddie, do
we
you kind
of look, we sort of look like cousins or something.
You guys could be cousins.
You could be husband and wife.
I know.
Well, you guys can make your own decision. Go to feastoffools.net. There's a wonderful photo of Laddie and Miss Tracy Tyler. Looking like a cute couple.
Mm-hmm. I know. I think people are going to ask me, who's that woman in your life?
You tell her that it's your wife.
Yeah. Just say, that's my wife.
Well, at least you're taller than me.
You're a strange wife.
My new friend Tracy from Chicago, who I met in Andersonville.
Mm-hmm. The lesbian lit.
Okay, so you're at the party. Yes. So I went to the party. Okay. And like first of all, I walked in and it was like all these women are like bigger than me, taller than me. Oh. Yeah, they were taller. Oh my God. They looked.
You're 6 feet, right?
No, 5'11".
5'11". Okay.
So you are a little taller than I am.
But
I always thought, oh, maybe it's because of my cha-cha heels. But I always thought I was 5'10", and then the nutritionist told me, honey, you're 5'9¾".
You're a pretty tall guy for a short guy.
The hormones must be shrinking me because you seem taller than me.
That estrogen just grabs a hold of your bones and just flushes it right out.
It does. Mm-hmm. It's shrinking me and it's all going to my butt and my tummy. It's bulging out in the center.
So tell us more about the party.
Okay. Yeah, so you hooked up with this guy. Okay, so this party. Well, what? Okay, so this party, I go there and it's like all these women, like they have huge shoulders. And no offense to the big girls. I mean, they're my sisters, but I actually felt like I was blending into the woodwork there because
you were petite compared to them.
Well, I wasn't petite.
Now you know how those horrible size zeros feel, you know, in society when they're there.
Listen to my violin. So anyway, so I felt like normal size there, right? So anyway, this guy right away comes up to me, this Hispanic guy of all things.
Oh, I
think
see
he was
that.
Mexican, though.
That's
I don't
hot.
Think he was Puerto Rican.
That's
Puerto
okay.
Riqueño. So he was Mexican, I think. So he came up and he started talking to me, and then he, you know, and I'm just like,
did he say,
I'm so
hola.
Nervous.
Buenas tardes, señorita.
I was so nervous, and he's just like, oh, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful, and blah, blah, blah.
And I know you are like, beautiful. Tell me more.
So anyway, so.
No matter what they say.
So he ends up inviting me to this after party in this adjoining room. And then I meet the guy that is
having. Because your party was in a hotel room.
No, it was in a hotel, like, banquet room.
Oh.
And, so they, what hotel was this?
It was
the Four Seasons?
No, Holiday Inn.
Out in the suburbs.
And it was actually a nice Holiday
Inn. Holiday
Inn,
out
though.
In the suburbs are sleazy.
I know. Swinger and then Central. At 2 o'clock, they had, you could pay extra to go to the pool party.
But wait, Tracy, how were you dressed?
I was dressed kind of slutty.
What does slutty for you mean, though?
I had really low-cut top on that, like, cut like was tight here under my boobs and then like showing my boobs like all my
but
boobs.
I don't know if you know that in Latino culture there's a real appreciation for large women with meat on their bones. Like to be too skinny isn't considered very attractive.
Well,
in Latino
here
culture.
Was the thing, most of the guys there were either black or Latino.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, there was so anyway this guy, he invited me to this party, and then I got this little glow stick ring, and everyone with the glow stick ring was going to be at this party. And the guy told me, he goes, so if you see anyone that with a glow stick ring and you don't know, you want to ask about them, he's like, just ask me about them. And they were like, they're being so nice to me. There's like, they didn't
this
clock
sounds
it
like a
off.
Cult.
Well, And they're like, you know what's going to go on at this party, right? And I was like, well, I said, I think so. And it's like, yeah, it's like totally a sex party, right? Like some big orgy. And
or
I was
virgin
like,
sacrifice with Tracy on the platter.
But I was like, I was just flattered that I got personally invited, because this was like the party that you wanted to go to. You know, this was like,
well, yeah, who wouldn't want to go to that party?
These guys were handpicking these girls. So
it's like second base.
So
like first base is the party.
How did the night end though?
Well, anyway, so I met this guy and he was really nice and he was an artist and so.
And he wanted to paint you naked. No,
well, listen to this. And then he shows me his pictures. He pulls out his camera.
Oh, he's a photographer.
Right? Oh. No, he's an artist. But
what
he
kind
had,
of artist? He's, performance artist? No.
Painter.
Paint.
He's a painter.
Yeah,
okay.
He had photos of his paintings.
Yeah, he did.
And what were his paintings of?
So, oh my God. So I see the first picture is of this. He was African American and this black guy on this like desert dunes, and there was like he was walking over these sand hills, and then I'm looking and I'm noticing the sand hills are actually a naked fat woman.
Wow. Sandy in complexion.
So you were like Venus rising out of the ocean.
Yeah, that's Venus. That's exactly what I was
thinking.
You're
the Botticelli Venus.
So I'm thumbing through his pictures, and they're all pictures of him in sexual positions with very large women. So
wonderful. He wanted you to be his model.
Oh my God. And I didn't know if I should take that as an insult or what, because these were very Rubenesque women. So
meaning,
so anyway,
plus size.
Yeah. So anyway, so I so he had no clue, and because we were dancing, slow dancing, and he goes to me, he goes, like, he was all over my height, like, because I was wearing heels, I was wearing like these stripper boots, like, you know, these
the ones that I tried on.
Yes, I was wearing
those. What color?
Black.
They're these crazy, shiny,
patent
here's
leather.
A little footnote for you academic types. Tracy wore those boots to church.
Yay!
Love it.
For my Good Friday solo.
For Good Friday.
Your hooker boots.
Which, by the way, I tried them on.
And I have to say, I liked them a little bit too much.
Okay, so wait. So sidebar.
I had to do a little sidebar. I saw her wearing hooker boots in church while singing songs, sad songs on
Good
Friday.
I had my boobs covered, though. So I could wear
most
the stripper
of it.
Boots.
Yeah, but then you step and you spread your legs apart and you're like,
you're up there on the altar. With the lesbian minister of your church. And you're like winking at her.
Okay.
That Tracy's got to go.
Sidebar about the church. Okay, what? Remember we had the whole issue with what I was going to sing for Good Friday. Whoever suggested Wynonna Judd, Testify to Love, thank you, because I didn't end up singing that one. I sang Wynonna Judd's on the same album.
This is so funny. I just
something else.
Keep going, sorry.
But thank you.
I'm
anyway.
So entertained.
So what happened to the man?
No, I sang, what was the song? I sang, oh my God, it was too.
You sang Amazing
ago.
Grace.
I will lift you up on eagle's wings.
I sang Amazing Grace and
you sang,
fucked it up.
I sang Baby Got
oh,
Back.
Oh, You Were Loved. You Were Loved.
You Were Loved by Wynonna Judd.
Yeah.
Can you sing a little bit?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Oh, God, how does it go?
Amazing Grace.
No, I sang that, yeah.
Sing a little bit of that.
You want to sing Amazing Grace?
Just a little bit, not the whole song.
No, do the Wynonna Judd.
Go do a Wynonna Judd thing.
You were loved by someone, touched by someone, held by someone, meant something to someone. Love somebody, touch somebody's heart along the way. You can look back and say you were loved.
Wow.
Girl,
thanks,
you asked
that's
diva.
So, cool.
So what happened
you.
To the so what happened
then
to the
turn,
guys?
And then
yeah,
you started
come
singing
back
Cher.
To the guys.
Then you started singing
no,
Cher.
I didn't.
If I could turn back time.
No, we ended how many men the did duet you sleep of with? On the Willows there.
Okay, so how many men did you sleep with at this party?
No, my God. I'm not a
You
slut.
Are a beautiful no. woman, Tracy Tyler,
I
and I want to make
slept
you
with one
a,
guy.
My masterpiece.
So anyway, so I met this guy and he was actually really cute. blah, blah, blah. And he was the only guy that was
actually
attracted
to. And by blah, 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 meaning she went down on him.
This is a Latino guy?
No, this was the white guy.
The white guy.
So you didn't go home with the Latino guy. You didn't go home with this, but you found a white guy. So you went home with him?
Yeah. So I went home
with
him.
You're so racist.
No, I'm not.
You rejected my people. And then you have the nerve.
So he didn't know I was trans either. And I didn't know how to tell him. And I'm like, you know, I'm trying to mind all my P's and Q's, my voice and my makeup was just right. Because if you wear too much, then they clock you. If you don't wear enough, then they clock you. So my makeup was just right, my clothes and everything, blah, blah, blah. So I was like minding all my P's and Q's. So we went off to my car and it was freezing cold. And I'm like half dressed, right, half naked. And like we had walked all the way around the hotel just to find my car. So he walks me to my car. We get in my car and like we start kissing and everything. And I'm like, look, you're not coming home with me. I'm not going home with you. We're not getting a room at the hotel. I said, we're not doing this. I'll take your number. And he was like, why? And it was like, because there's things you don't know about me that I'm not ready to tell you. And he's like, well, tell me. And he had no clue. So then he's like, okay, he takes his drink out of the hotel room, like, and out of the party. He hides it in his coat, and then he takes it. So it's in my car. It's this glass with rum and coke in it. Mm-hmm. So then he says, I had to go to the bathroom. And so he gets out of the car and goes into the bushes right by my car. All of a sudden, the cops pull up.
Oh, my God.
The cops in the hotel parking lot pull up. And I'm like, oh my God, shit! And like, okay, I had been drinking, and so I'm like, oh my God.
You have those outstanding warrants?
No warrants. And so I'm like, I gotta get out of here. So I pull away,
women's
and he's in the bushes with his pants down pissing. So I pull away, and like, I drive away, and the cops like are like searching, and I don't know what they're looking for. And then I pull over into this other parking spot around the corner, and I threw his glass of, because I thought, oh my God, the cops.
Yeah, you don't want that in your car.
That I have open alcohol in the car driving. Oh my God. And so I threw that out, and then I drove back around the hotel, and I'm looking for him. And so the cop had pulled away and didn't even stop him or anything. And then he's
why are the police driving around the hotel parking lot?
They do that all the time to look for people like fucking in cars and stuff like that.
That was a hotel
to see if people are like breaking in.
Because I don't know what they were looking for, but he was looking for his car.
Suspicious
activity. He thought I had drove away and left him, and so I picked him back up and I go, get in. And he gets in and I said, look, I'm going to tell you right now. I said, I'm a transsexual. And he gasped for air and choked on his spit. And he goes, oh! And he looked at my face and there was like this shock.
But you already have him all horned up.
I know. And he goes, oh my God, you are.
like all of a sudden everything started.
All of a sudden he could see my face as a man.
I've had that happen before. I don't know.
So, and I said, yeah, I'm sorry, you know, whatever. And he was like, but you know what? I'm still so attracted to you. And now I'm so curious about you. And he goes, let's go to your place and we'll talk about it. And I was like, okay. Follow me.
And by talk, meaning take your clothes off and roll around in the bed naked.
So I'm like, follow me. So we went to my place, right? And then we get to my place and he's like, do you have alcohol? And I'm like, all I got is this wine. So we open up this bottle of wine and he's drinking it. We're in my bed, okay? And I have like white sheets, right? And he's like drinking red wine and just like,
he's screwing you.
Oh my God. He was like, as we're like totally naked. And he's like so drunk and like wobbling and drinking this red wine. And so I'm like wherever his hand moves with this glass of wine, I'm following it behind him to make sure he doesn't spill it. Like
with a little towel.
Yes. So finally, I'm just like, look, this is over with and everything. And I said, you know what? You can't spend the night here. And I said, you have to go. And because he wasn't into what I was. So anyway, the bottom line, then... he was like, well, I'm so drunk. And I said, I don't care. You got to go. And I know that's being a bitch, but I was like, and then he starts falling asleep. So I'm like, shit. And so I go and I'm not sleeping with this drunk. And so I slept on the couch. And then in the morning, I slept on the couch. And then in the morning.
Because you were a lady.
In the morning, I got up and I went into my bedroom and he's just waking up and he goes, oh, hey. He goes, where did you sleep? And I said, I slept on the couch. And he goes, oh, good. I'm glad you went and slept on the couch because I can't sleep with someone else in my bed. I was like, oh, my God, you jerk. You're the one that should have slept on the couch. This is my house.
And so you've been seeing him ever since?
No.
And so you're in love afterwards. No.
And I thought, you know, what the hell are these straight ladies going through? These poor ladies.
It sounds like an adventure. I mean, you know, so
Lani, you go to hang out with bear parties too? Or have you gone to something similar? Because you identify yourself as a osito, which is bear. Which is a little bear.
Well, I don't. I mean, sounds fun. Like, Tracy, I'm jealous.
aspect of that are you jealous about?
I don't know. It sounds like breasts. It was fun and nothing bad happened. So, you know, it didn't have like a terrible ending.
End up getting into strange adventures, though.
Exactly. So it was a interesting adventure. It was like, do you know what he did
a week later?
He called you.
No, he texted me and he was like, how are you, baby?
And you're like, I'm fine.
I know. I was like, oh my God, this asshole is texting me. And I was like, and so I texted him back. I'm like, I'm fine. And he goes, oh, how was your day? How long did you stay at the museum? And I said, museum? He goes, yeah, the Museum of Contemporary Art. And I said, I wasn't there. And then so then he calls me and he goes, oh, I'm sorry, I text the wrong person.
What a cat.
I know. And then he goes, loser. I met this girl at the Contemporary Museum of Art today or yesterday or whatever. And she gave me her phone number and I mistook it for yours. And then I was like, oh, please. And so I hung up. Mm-hmm. He texted me like 15 minutes later saying, hey, by the way, do you want to have a three-way with a genetic girl and you?
Gosh.
I was like, what a jerk. And I didn't text him back. And then he texts me back again and he goes, I'll take that as a no. And then a day after that, he texts me and he goes, I'm sorry that I brought up the three-way thing. I shouldn't have done that. I'm like,
It'd be enough with this guy. You should have told him to go to the Art Institute because that's where all the fat nudes are. Because I don't think they have any fat nudes at the
Institute. He had a big dick, but the rest of his body sucked.
Oh, but I think it's awesome that you went to that party. And, you know, it's like maybe you have to go to another one.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And, you know, at least you hung out. You had a good time.
The same night that that you went to that party, went to this awful party for Farc.
Last time we went, it was really fun. This time it wasn't as good.
Yeah, it was like out of this noisy straight club with a bunch of people. Like,
it was like all classic rock in the background.
What's
Farc? Farc is a website that we frequent. It's they do a lot of odd news and stuff.
Social
Farc,
community
not
network.
Farc. Yeah.
Not Farc.
F-A-R-K.
Or Farc. It's F-A-R-K. Yeah,
and so they have like real world parties every now and then. So it's a lot of internet geeks.
They have
news
items like this one. Have you heard about Maximo, the Mexican professional wrestling's latest sensation? Effeminate, gay, and sporting a hot pink mohawk. And
What?
He's a wrestler?
Okay, well, let me repeat that. The word is Maximo. That's his name.
Okay.
He's gay.
Uh-huh.
He's feminine. And he's fabulous and wears a pink mohawk and leotard to match.
He's a wrestler?
Yes. Mexican lucha libre is the best.
Mexican wrestling.
Oh my God.
Gay,
lucha libre.
Pink concept. Put it all together. I know it's like everyone's like going, but that doesn't match. I can't understand.
They always seem kind of gay to me, those little outfits.
So here's
costumes.
A picture of Maximo.
I love wrestling.
He looks like something like
wrestlers.
He would be out of American Gladiators.
Ooh.
And he's fabulous. So he kisses his opponent
really
on the lips.
He looks short, doesn't
to the
he,
delight,
Larry?
And the interesting thing about this, Tracy, is that the crowd loves it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think like a lot of those Mexicans, they have a very fluidic sense of that kind of stuff.
They're not uptight
like Americans.
It's not always been a part of their sort of Mexican wrestling culture, but right now, Maximo and other sort of exóticos, the exotic sort of gay-inspired wrestlers, are taking over the scene and bringing a lot of gay sensibility that straight people are cheering and enjoying, and they're the good guys.
I always thought that wrestling, like guys that watch wrestling, were it was a homoerotic experience because they get into positions where their crotches are in their face and stuff, and that is so homoerotic. And not even like the fake wrestling where they're jumping on each other, but like real wrestling, you know, real that's wrestling. True. That's like I used to as a young.
A lot of our listeners are actually into that. I used to watch.
Were you a wrestler?
Actually, I was.
Yeah, in high school. Not high school. In junior high, I tried it. Really?
Yeah, there's lots of wrestling videos on YouTube.
Oh, and lots of them.
Yeah. Not, were you in wrestling or?
No, I was a swimmer.
You were a swimmer.
Because you like to see the guys naked in the shower.
You were fish, baby. Fish.
I remember at Christmas time, you and I.
You're
and
making
my mom,
me blush. We went to Coamo.
Which, explain to people
the
what
hot
Coamo
springs
is.
In the south of Puerto Rico. People believe they have medicinal attributes, so people like to go there and sit in these hot waters. And it's really fun. And we went with Patricia. I want to send out a shout out to your mom.
To my mom. You were
She'll actually listen to this show.
Oh, that's so cool.
You met my mom before she had her stroke.
Yes, I did.
And now, you know. So
and because your
completely.
Mom studied Spanish, just like me, we both have degrees in Latin American literature. So I got to have really good conversations with your mom. And your mom has a really interesting story because she's an American woman who came to Puerto Rico, right, and learned so much about and brought La Leche League and learned so much about Puerto Rico.
La Leche League is a breastfeeding advocacy organization. In the 1970s, a lot of doctors and current medicine were telling mothers not to breastfeed their children.
And
there was better to use formula.
There was formula, and part of it is because of formula manufacturers like Carnation, owned by Nestle, and other milk manufacturers were pushing milk products onto mothers. Oh. And so they're like, the dangers of breastfeeding.
Oh,
and
please.
So, believe it or not, there was the need for activism and support for mothers who wanted to breastfeed their kids.
Wow. So I think your mom's a feminist hero, and I think that you take after her, although I don't know if I'd call you a feminist hero, but you're certainly gay advocate.
Hey, listen, I'm
a breastfeeding advocate.
The Beast of Fools is the most popular lesbian podcast, believe it or not. Later this week, we're actually interviewing one of the most popular feminist or female musicians of their time, Bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about your mama. I'm talking about the musician known as Bitch from the group Bitch and Animal.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to be here talking about the Michigan Women's Music Festival and the future of women's music, which is
and
very interesting.
Transphobia and trans discrimination.
Is she going to sing on the show?
No. She did sing on the show. Trans. She's beautiful. We were like making out afterwards.
Wow.
You did.
I did. I actually got pregnant. Oops.
Whatever.
I'm just kidding.
Just kidding.
So later this week, on Thursday, we're going to be at the Center on Halsted doing a forum on gay men's sexuality with Dr. David Halperin.
Yay.
You know him. Your eyes got all big as dinner
plates. No, that's
laughing.
So exciting.
Do you know David?
Are you going to be
he's
so
gay
married?
Academia. He's one of those.
He's in
like,
Michigan.
My colleague from the University of Michigan?
I believe
so.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. So you do know him.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
He's making a face.
Do you know him intimately?
I have no idea who
don't.
You're talking about.
You don't
about.
Know him?
He's my colleague. Yes, I know
is
who he
cute?
Is.
Oh. Is he cute?
Tracy, I think you should go on this week to that event.
Tracy's going to stand up. What is the question you're going to ask?
I'm going to ask, are you jealous because I'm beautiful, boys?
And then she's going to sit back down and go.
And because Mark and I are going to be moderating the event, we're going to plant our own people in the audience.
And Mark and Faust are going to say, yes, we are. We hate you, bitch.
I'm going to whack her in the head with a microphone.
Are you trying to create a riot?
It's going to be that. It's going to be on the third floor of the Center in Halsted.
It's it?
Free and open to the public, and there'll be snacks.
Your new center is so beautiful.
Thank you. I built it myself. And so afterwards, we're going to go over to Sidetrack and celebrate my birthday. So that's what we're going to do.
But when's your birthday, Fausto?
April 16th.
Oh, my birthday. My birthday is April 10th. I just turned 40.
Congratulations.
But I don't look a day over 39.
Yay.
Happy birthday, Larry.
Feliz, feliz en tu día. And so on.
Feliz
we already know we're strapped for time because the whole show got hijacked by Tracy's fabulous
I love that story.
I'm sorry.
We're done, though.
Sorry.
This is it.
That's wonderful. Now we can go party.
Oh, we're partying.
Well, you know, I mean, without the microphone.
We're going to go to Steamworks and party.
Let's go to the party. Larry, I have a coupon for you to go into Steamworks.
Okay.
There's not too many bears like, at Steamworks.
There's bears there.
Of course there's bears. Yeah, there are. Oh, hey, yeah. There's all kinds.
This gay fun
show. Shut up!
It's time for me to do my Steamworks ad. This gay fun show has been brought to you in part by Steamworks Gym, Sauna, and Baths.
Release the pressure!
Saca la presión.
Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, and now Seattle, Washington.
When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit, like Laddie. You can go there and enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get a special discount. Remember,
play hard, play smart.
So, Laddie, you get to choose what music we're going to listen to.
What do you want to listen to?
Ruben Bouchard.
All right.
Oh, you like him?
Wait. Oh. I want to do my Share Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
Honey, we ran out of time.
Next time.
Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. We're here for the people in the town. They call us Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
What'd you say while Ruben Bouchard's playing in the background?
She's like, I don't know.
I had to do that for a listener.
Let's do Belle of the Ball.
Yeah, Belle of the Ball. I like that one.
That's too. A better song.
That because, Larry, you are the Belle of the Ball.
Thanks, but I think you are.
No, you are.
You guys are such a cute couple. I wish you both were straight for each other.
No, no making out.
Could you guys kiss each other a little bit?
No.
Come on, a little bit.
I feel a cold sore. I have a cold sore coming on. I'm not kissing
anymore. Okay, let's hear. Gypsies. Can you sing Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves to the music that you're listening to?
Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. We'd hear it from the people. In the town, they call us Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
Yay! Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thanks for having me on the show.
Bye, guys.
Love you too.
Okay, this is a little bonus here that Feast of Fools podcast. We're talking about the distinction between GLBT or LGBT, which we consider to be called the rainbow alphabet of sexuality and gender identity and gender fluidity.
And there's also like LGBTQQI. And there's also two spirits, TS.
Two spirits.
Oh,
really? I thought that TS was transsexual. But I also like, too, the C for closeted, because I think we need to fight for the rights of closeted homosexuals first and foremost so that we as gay people can enjoy our rights as well.
I agree.
So I know, so Fausto, I know that...
First of all, my stand on it is it should be GLBT. And part of the reasons is... One, it doesn't really matter whether it's LGBT or BLGT or what order those letters take in. Second of all, that concept of putting ladies first is sexist. So the whole idea that you're sort of doing this affirmative action by putting women in the beginning of that... is sexist.
And also, too, a lot of lesbians do identify as gay.
Yeah, and so gay is the first word historically that we all sort of bring back to in the modern gay rights movement and gay liberation. And I know that there is a lot of idea of distinguishing between lesbianism and gay men, but I always feel like the G is the first word.
I think it should be TLGB because, and I'll tell you
and
why.
And the T stands for Tracy.
No, and I will tell you why, Tranny Tracy, because because we're the ones that started this whole damn thing.
That's
and Stonewall.
True. Like Sylvia actually, Rivera.
The modern gay rights movement predates Stonewall, and a lot of it comes from Germany and from people like Harry Hay, who were gay
let
men,
me just say
and
you know
separatist
what?
Gay men.
Truthfully, I think it's really crazy to split hairs and move around the letters. They're so childish. But there are trans people out there, and I'm just speaking for my community,
sure,
that really believe that they're the ones that started the whole gay revolution and all this stuff.
I agree
but
with
they
Tracy.
Do. They
well,
do
it's
believe
nice
that.
It's a nice mythology to think of trannies and drag queens are integral and part of our liberation. You cannot separate the two. But to give one group in that alphabet priority over others is wrong, I think.
But Fausto, I mean, I just have to disagree because
Miss Rivera,
I mean, male supremacy, patriarchy are things that have been historically oppressed many people. And see, I support having L first, LGBT as a gesture of feminism. I think Tracy's
that's
suggestion,
a token gesture.
I don't think it's a token. Feminism is not a token gesture. Feminism is our daily lived practice and experience of trying to face patriarchy, oppression in the world as much as we face white supremacy and racism. But I think Tracy's idea of having the T first is cool. But let me just say that this problem about the letter, the soup of letters, is frustrating. I mean, that's why some people just don't want labels. Other people have tried to come up with new words like sexual diversity or, you know, sexual rights. So somehow to, you know, try to get out of this conversation.
So you think that the conversation is misguided to begin with?
No, I think it's an interesting conversation that it's worth having. I don't think
I see that there's people going around Wikipedia and they're changing GLBT to LGBT. And including in my own Wikipedia entry, which I had worked with some friends many years ago, it had GLBT Puerto Rican.
See, I like the word pato more because that means dog, but in Puerto Rico that means gay, and it's kind of
duck,
offensive,
right?
And when I was small, I'd come home and someone would have written on the wall Lari es pato, which was very traumatic and took me lots of time to get over.
Tracy
and pato
Maricone
is duck, right?
Pato is duck, but it also means gay.
I love the word maricone. It means
maricone,
butterfly.
Mariposa. No.
Mariposa.
Loca.
Yeah, I am.
Loca is a really great word.
Really. Well, a lot of trannies think of themselves as a butterfly. You know, we.
Because you're
a mermaid.
That's
so cute. Larry, everything you say.
He's in love. He's got about making out with Tracy. I believe that we're all transgendered in some sense or another.
Do you really?
I do really believe that. And so, because we're all sort of in the process of transitioning to one thing or another or to reverting back to something else, that T should be at the beginning of that thing. But I think that for you know, it's important to look back on our history as a sexual diversity movement, to use the term, and put the G first.
But I just went to this conference this weekend here in Chicago, the race, sex, power, black and Latino new movements in black and Latino sexualities, and what was so amazing about those panels was just exploring how people really use these terms in really crazy ways and have really new definitions, like transgender women who act masculine and identify as faggots and think of themselves as heterosexuals.
Really?
People are doing all sorts of different things that
it's
are
like
much
that queer
richer
and questioning.
Really thinking of our collective whole collective experience in terms of these letters is sort of it doesn't really illustrate and clarify what we're trying to do, and maybe using the word sexual diversity is a better conclusion. Agree on that?
So how would you abbreviate that, SD?
So sexual diversity. You're fighting for sexual diversity.
Well, you're fighting for sexual rights, sexual citizenship. you're fighting.
Sexual citizen. What?
Come on. Sexual citizenship.
I have my membership to Steamworks. What else do I need?
You need to be able to live in a society that respects your rights to do what you want and where people don't attack you for who you are and that you can have a decent, happy life.
And this is called sexual citizenship.
Well, I think so, yes.
And okay. because sexual minorities are disenfranchised, meaning they don't have access to being represented in government and financial access to means of power and advertising and career advancement. Although in podcasting, gays rule. You know, so it's like you go to those podcasting conferences and it's a fruity festival, let me tell you. So it's like, well, the whole internet is sort of like run by
the internet's
kind of
gay. Yeah,
it's, you know, gay people developed the internet. I mean,
I think that the porn, entertainment the quest for industry is run by gays with Donald Trump thrown in.
You think Donald Trump is
you don't
gay?
Think he likes
no,
little
no.
gay
I mean,
sex and his like $1 million.
I mean, it's so, like there's Donald Trump's and Trump, and then there's
well, I think it, like straight
gay,
men
gay guys
that that are sexually attracted to trans women sort of have a hard time because they're seen by their straight peers as queers, as outcasts in a certain sense because of who they're attracted to. But by a lot of tranny women, they're just seen as sort of like straight guys. So they're sort of like in this.
Yeah, you guys
world.
See them as gay, but we see them as straight.
And I
right?
see, yeah, I do see them
with
yeah.
the guy you the guys you sleep with.
Because
yeah,
I was at a party at Tracy's
all.
House, and these guys are like, you know, the iPods is a conspiracy theory. With
oh, please, that oh, yeah, was one
so,
person.
So I think it's about like not trying to box people into these preconceived categories that you bring, but just being open to listen to people, to listen to how people talk about themselves, try to understand and let them express themselves. And maybe it doesn't make sense to you, but, you know, I mean, categories are useful for political mm-hmm. organizing and for understanding the world, but also flexibility is something that's really empowering when you don't feel you have to, that you know that to be part of this community you have to make these little boxes.
But how do you differentiate between fluidity and just cowardice? Like that I'm in the closet and that's my fluidity is I don't really want to take a risk
identifying myself. I really think this may be a ways off, but I think we're headed to a society that doesn't label, and I know people have been saying that for years, but I mean, a lot of young kid, like in their I'm so old.
Well, young people are always going to be a little less determined by their sexuality because they're just in the process of determining what that sexuality is. So you can't really look at people that are in their teens as a barometer of what they're going to be like 10 years from now, Tracy.
Well, when I was growing up, it was very, you know, you were not gay. You know, people were not gay. And God, forget about trans. I mean, we heard about Tula, you know, but that was it. She was one trans person in the whole world, you know. But you know, people nowadays, it's like, it's not a big deal to be gay. And it's not different. And people go from being gay for a while then to being straight. And trans people go from liking men and then all of a sudden liking women and then liking trans.
I know, I'm waiting for you to become a lesbian.
No. If I don't find the right man pretty soon, I'm going to try it.
But so. Can I just say, one of the speakers at this conference was Urvashi Vaad, who's this...
I love Urvashi.
She's just one of the most incredible, bright...
What is it that attracts you to her? Is her passion and her...
Her passion, her clarity of analysis...
I don't know anything about her. Who is she?
She was a director of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. Now she directs the Arcus Foundation.
She was bumping pussies with Katie Lang for a while.
She's an Indian American, South Asian American woman who's Kate Clinton's partner. And, you know, she was talking about...
Yeah, but before she was with Kate Clinton, she was with Katie Lang.
Oh. She only does the A-listers,
and,
right?
She has an A-list lesbian.
So she was talking about, in some ways, feeling old school, old style, 70s style, like believing in the validity and the need to affirm identities as much as those are going to allow you to survive in the world, bring about change, challenge racism, challenge sexism. racism and challenge homophobia. So when she was saying those words, I was like, you know what? I agree. I mean, I'm excited. I agree. I think those words are useful and we should use them as much as
when does our own community,
they're relevant to us.
Lottie, when does our own community, or this sexual diversity community, when do we become oppressive to ourselves?
Well, it's always been oppressive to itself. I mean, that's the elephant in the room or the secret in the closet.
Talk. I've gained a little bit of weight. Come on, be nice.
I'm talking about racism in the gay community, transphobia in the gay community.
Well, there is a lot of transphobia. But you guys, do you think that there might be just a little bit of us segregating ourselves and from the rest of the world by labeling ourselves and wanting to hang on to a label to be special and to feel included into a group?
Well, it's like I say about Grammy artists, you know, every punk rocker wants to be a punk rocker, but also want to be seen sometimes as a musician. You know, you're sort of an outsider until you get an award. And it's like, we want to sort of be part of that genre and category, but we also want to be included into the mainstream. And there's nothing wrong with those two things.
If you take away the labels, then what do you really have to hold on to?
Because those labels are important because they define who we are. It's like saying, it's like your name.
Don't you think that's what the whole marriage fight is about? Is heterosexual people not wanting us to get married because they're hanging on to what they feel like is this little society of heterosexual married people, so they don't want gay people to be
in. It's like a little club.
So I mean, yeah, so I just say ditch all the labels, let's just all be a society of people, you know.
Well, but I think it's important to keep those subgroups, because those are what creates our identity, and identity is always a healthy thing because it makes you special.
Is our identity holding us back? I'm just asking.
Anything, and also your desire to be part of this larger group can also hold you back.
Exactly.
So it's really about you being mindful and being thoughtful about how you relate to the world.
Finding your voice.
Right. So, as you mentioned about these men that like transgender women and you think they're gay, I think they're straight. You know, I really do think that it's matters as, do you like a feminine person or do you like a masculine person? Because I really do think it's that simple, because
I don't know. I think that these guys are a different breed altogether. I wouldn't say that they're traditionally gay, because they don't find me as an object of sexual desire. I don't think. Now, they probably they probably do me in a pinch, as I'm guessing.
No, they probably wouldn't. No, but you know what I have learned with knowing a lot of men that that are in this weird category of not being gay or not really being straight, you know, is that that they're attracted to femininity. They're attracted to someone that's very feminine, that looks like a woman, that is a woman, but they want to have gay sex with a woman is basically what it is. You know, I have met men that are married that their wives use strap-ons and this kind of thing, and they're perfectly happy, and they also like trans women. So it doesn't matter what equipment you're using. I really don't think. But like,
I don't know. For a lot of straight guys, though, they might like feminine women. But you know, if you have a penis, that's a deal breaker.
But let me tell you something. I was at this conference one time, and there was this really hot guy cruising me and hardcore cruising me. And then after the conference, we were in a seminar. And then after the conference, I went to the hotel bar, and he's there, and we start talking. Come to find out, he was a woman and is a female to male.
Well, I've
and
had that I same was, experience.
I was so turned on by him, and I was like, wow, that really screws with my mind. So
exactly,
so you guys bump pussies.
No. Well, see, I always see that a lot of female to male trans people.
To sum it up, just for me, I really think that if you're attracted to men, you're going to want muscles and a hairy chest and a deep voice and a blah, blah, blah. If you're attracted to female, it doesn't matter what. I think it's graying the area. And I think that's where our world is headed to, is this very gray area of sexual fluidity. And, I think that.
It's not as fluid as you think it would be.
Well, maybe your listeners will throw also, me, throw so me if, some if, comments.
Well, of course, people have their own opinions, but right. You know, the other thing too, just because the majority feels a certain way, I mean, the majority felt that racism, slavery was the way to go, and they were wrong. Yeah. So, you know, really, it's like you have to think about what are the long-term consequences of sort of, you know, creating these absolute constructs, meaning, you know, saying this is the way it is and it will always be this way. Or, you know, because sometimes... Being
flexible.
Being flexible about your fluidity. Maybe.
So, what, so I think... If
I'm remembering correctly, I'm trying to recall what Urvashi Vaid said. And she said that it's like what we aspire to is a moment, a society in which these identities are not a barrier to our rights.
Right.
Right. That being gay or lesbian or trans or queer or whatever you define yourself as is not a barrier to getting adequate health care. It's not a barrier to getting a job and keeping your job.
Yeah.
It's not a barrier to being happy, to mm-hmm. getting housing, right?
So basically, like the way.
So that is the day that we're. So that these forms of discrimination that oppress people based. I don't think it's the labels. Mm-hmm. The labels don't create the discrimination. It's prejudice that creates the discrimination.
Yeah, that's true.
So you want to challenge those forms of prejudice, those forms of intolerance.
But it's crazy because you're never going to change the way people really feel inside.
It's a long social process.
Anti-miscegenation laws in this country which prohibited black and white people marrying as recently as 50 years ago.
I think it was 40 years ago it was reversed, right? 40 years ago in 2007.
Social changes do happen. It takes moments of crystallization of profound activism mm-hmm. or some social crisis or revolution mm-hmm. or big change.
And a lot of that is on a personal level as well for these people. They can, you know, one day they're homophobes, the next day they're like, you know what? It's not so bad.
You know, that's sort of how gay rights was advanced in Spain. It's like they were having a hell of a time with dealing with... you know, backlash and sort of the civil rights movement in dealing with terrorism. And I think in Spain, they just said, you know, fuck all these Western American values and said, we're going to give gays the right to marry. We're going to give everybody universal health care.
We're pulling out of this war.
We're pulling out of the war in the Middle East. And they're so much better for it. You know?
Isn't that so weird that Europe is so rich in tradition?
Not always.
And no, that Europe is so... If you've been to Europe, you know, you walk down cobblestone streets and see old buildings and it's just all taken for granted. And there's so much history that we can't even fathom here because, you know, we're not as old as they are. And yet here they have so much more advanced policies and ideals in sexuality and human behaviors and human...
I mean, in Europe.
Yeah, in Europe. Yeah, when they're actually... Well, I said what the irony is.
They're pretty much fucking their brothers and sisters. So they've got to be open up about this kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, what the irony is, you know, is that... I mean, as far as trans go, I mm-hmm. mean, they're so much more advanced than we... I mean, they had Kelly Vandekamp, who I just love.
She sell fish sticks?
Huh?
The Vandekamp.
What is her name? Kelly
Vandermeer.
Vandermeer. Right, Vandermeer. Sorry, okay. Kelly.
Kelly
Vandermeer. No, Kelly Vandermeer.
Okay.
It is true. Okay.
That's what a tranny name that is, right?
Vandermeer. Well, she was on
Vandeville.
Like 10 years ago, she was on their version of Big Brother and mm-hmm. as a trans, and she's done a music video, and then she was just recently on their version of Dancing with the Stars, and she's like, you know...
Girl needs a paycheck.
But you know what? People just accept her, and you know, it's different, and I wish our world could get that way.
So what I get out of this conversation is the real need to continue to advocate for social change, to be aware of this, to have conversations, to, you know, participate in politics or in community building, to sort of educate people so that these changes happen. Because even though this is a racist country established by Puritans who are sexually repressive, that doesn't mean that this country has to be like that forever.
Right. And we can change. We can sex it up.
I think so.
Let's sex up America.
Change. So how do we do that?
The way women have been doing it for 200 years, the way that organized gay movement has been doing it since the 1920s, but especially since the 50s and 60s.
Get the so, laws so, and the so books.
Is it what? Tell me, is what do you think? Being a professor of gay studies, what do you think? What do we have to do as a country to catch up to Europe and other countries that are passing us up? I mean, even in, you know, even the conservative Asians, Japan and in the Philippines, you know, they have like, they have a tranny rock, a tranny pop group, and they have, you know, all these things, and they're called Lady is the pop group's name. And they, you know, they just like, they're so much more advanced than we are.
So one thing, for example, Dr. Jocelyn Elders mentioned at the conference is that we have to elect people who are intelligent, responsible, and socially committed, and who will be committed to the demands that their constituencies put forth, so that we have to elect people who are for social change and then hold them for their word and be involved in that process at many different levels in terms of families, institutions, and government. I think.
Why do you think we're so far behind? Just because we are Puritan? We started out being Puritans?
I think it's Puritans, but then the Puritans also, I think what we're feeling really more is the result of the Victorian era, where that was so very repressed. You know?
Well, there's a lot of different factors. I mean, too, the Coors family helped single-handedly resuscitate conservative values and the Republican Party after the Nixon administration's fiasco. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of the media, recent things. Though?
Do you think the media has something to do with
it? I blame Nixon.
You know, until I really think
why Nixon?
Nixon screwed up so many things in this country for so many people. It's, you know, like,
I think being gay took a mile leap forward when we had Stephen and Dynasty and Jack and
yeah. But
Will
the problem with
Grace
Stephen was is they portrayed him as this wonderful gay guy, and you're like, oh, it's okay to be gay. And then it's like the next year, AIDS hit. And then you're like, oh my God, it's a curse from God.
Well, that was a little bit of a step back. That was a little bit, a tiny little bitty step back.
You know?
But, you know, then Will and Grace really brought, you know, it forward. And
years and years ago.
Okay, so we got to finish up here.
I'm going to make some chocolate waffles.
Larry,
that sounds delicious.
Before we finish up here, Larry, where do you think the movement of sexual diversity will be in 5 to 10 years?
Wow.
Because you're somebody who so really follows on that pulse. Where do you see it going?
Well, I think it's an open question. And I think that if we don't get our act together and commit to social change and become involved in those struggles, the struggle to stop the war in Iraq, the struggle to get universal health care coverage, the struggle to get Republicans out of power in the presidency and the legislature, we're not going to be very far ahead. But if people really come together, then there's a real possibility for change.
Yay.
Yay. Thank you, Larry.
Where's your tambourine?
Yay.
Yay. Who wants a chocolate waffle?
Me!